Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and we're happy to be with you once again and bring you glad tidings from the precious, holy, and unerring Word of God. And we trust that what we have to say today will produce exercise and be helpful to those who are Christians. On the other hand, that it may cause a stir, no end, on the part of those who are still without the Savior, and that we might hear of some being brought to know Christ. These are indeed the most eventful days in human history, and everything about us tends to tell us that the end of all things is at hand. We can see the Scriptures being fulfilled before our very eyes every day. And of course, if men and women are not in earnest, if men and women are not stirred, surely it is because those eyes are blind to these stern realities. Why, think of how men and women are filled with fear lest a bomb should drop one of these days and a great deal of civilization be wiped off the earth in a matter of a few moments. Well, it's possible that such could take place, but we believe that we have something that should cause men and women to fear, even although a bomb should never drop, or even although you should be in condition, circumstances according to your liking, and you may be able to go on for years and years and years to come. We'd like to impress upon you the fact that you have a soul as well as a body. You see, this body of yours will soon wear out, but that soul that you possess is going to spend eternity, or I should put it this way, it will be spending eternity in one of two places, and the Word of God knows of nothing else. Those who are reached and saved by the grace of our God will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ, and those who refuse His Son, those who do not prepare for eternity and prepare for the meeting with God, will perish forever and ever. In other words, we believe, friends, in separation from God. We believe that sinners who willfully refuse the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ and do not and will not trust Him will be shut out in outer darkness for all eternity. And there would be weeping and wailing too as well. But we trust that this will not be true in the case of any of our hearers today. And so we're going to notice with you, if time will permit us, a couple of portions, two in the Old Testament, or perhaps one or two in the New Testament. Now, we were seeing with you in one of our previous broadcasts about some things that we believe were surely ought to have been soul-searching, and because we noticed came from the lips of the Lord Jesus, what He said to a man and then what He said to a woman. He said to the rich young ruler, "One thing thou lackest." He said to Martha, "One thing is needful." Now in the 27th Psalm, the psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." That's Psalm 24, 27 and verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Now, I should just like to suggest that we believe what the psalmist had in his heart and expressed in words when he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." He was speaking of fellowship and communion with his God. Now, personally, he could say, this was his own testimony in a previous psalm, when he said, as to the future and as to where he'd spend eternity, he said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, the house of the Lord there that he was speaking of was not exactly the same as you have in the 27th Psalm. You see, he attended to the matter of the salvation of his soul. And he availed himself of the provision that God had made for him. You see, he could speak of the Good Shepherd, and he could say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And of course, knowing Christ as the Good Shepherd and as his Good Shepherd, that secured for him and not only happiness here below, but it secured for him a home eternal in the heavens, and he had that assurance, just as did Saul, just as did Paul, our apostle, and every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who has trusted him as Savior. We know that if it meant absent from the body, it would mean at home with the Lord. We say we have a house eternal in the heavens, and it's grand to know that. However, come back to the psalm, if you will, just for a minute. Now he said, as for my future, that has been taken care of. It is secured in that I have the Good Shepherd as my shepherd, the one that laid down his life for the sheep. I know him as such. But in that 27th psalm, he said, I should like to enjoy day by day his presence. There was a growing in the knowledge of that Blessed One and the enjoyment of his presence. And so I should just like to ask all my hearers, before we move on a little bit further, can you say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Oh, don't tell me you hope that when you leave this scene that you'd be with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would have a home eternal in heaven. Don't say that. If you merely have a hope, that's worthless. You could have the definite knowledge and the definite possession and the peace in your soul that he gives to all who trust in him. And then, if that were true, you certainly could enter into the words of the psalmist when he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Oh, I want to dwell in his house, sure. And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That was in the enjoyment of his presence here and now. Did you know that the one who can say, the Lord is my shepherd, has heaven secured to him? But did you know that that same person can enjoy the sweetness of his presence and the joys of heaven right here and now? Well, if you didn't, friend, it's for you to know. Now, shall we hurriedly pass on in the remaining moments that are ours to a passage in the New Testament where we have another man brought before us, and he too had a desire, a strong desire, a burning desire in his heart. And you would find this in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 10, and about verse 1, where Paul says, brethren. Of course, he was writing to his brethren in the flesh. He was writing to God's earthly people, the Jews. And he spoke of them as his brethren. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And listen, he had more than a desire in his heart that they might be saved. And if you want to see just to what extent that desire was in his heart and that wish, you go back to the chapter that precedes this one. That, of course, would be in the 9th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. And he says there in verse 2, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, yes, friends, we can say that we have a desire. What is the desire on your heart today? Well, the desire on our heart is that our hearers might be saved, that they could speak with definiteness, that they could speak with certainty, that everything that savors of uncertainty might be removed from your heart, from your thoughts, from your vocabulary, and that you could speak upon divine authority with certainty and definiteness, with the relation to a coming sure and certain eternity, where it is true you must spend in one or two of the places, either in heaven with the redeemed of the Lord or in outer darkness with those who refuse and neglect his precious Son. Now, if there was ever a time when there should be a strong desire on the part of all who are Christians. If there ever was a time when we should be devoted to Christ, it is certainly in these last dark days, these most eventful days in human history, when men's hearts are failing them because of fear for looking after those things that are coming to pass. And all surely tells us that the end is at hand. How it would grieve our hearts to think of any who have listened to our broadcast, who have heard the sweet strains of the glorious gospel, who have had repeated in your hearing, for instance, verses that would bring you present salvation and definite assurance. Think of a passage, will you, like this, St. John 10 and verse 28. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Think, will you, of a passage that goes like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now, true friends, judgment is coming for the unbeliever, for those that are out of Christ, those that have not trusted him, maybe who know they ought to be saved, but still are neglecting or rejecting the great salvation of God. Judgment, with all in all its severity, is going to fall. On the other hand, we can tell you that there is therefore now no condemnation or no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you like to trust him today and say, well, thank God, my future is secured for me. I have Christ, and what more do I need? Now, we'd like to get a line from you if you're enjoying these programs. And if you've trusted Christ, we'd like to know it. It would delight our hearts. If you haven't, may you trust him today. Drop a line, please, in care of the station to which you're listening, or Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Meantime, may you be blessed of God, is our prayer.